that would call for the woman that he was betrothed to be put to death because they thought he thought she was sexually unfaithful.
那么这个恰恰是他遵循的这个律法是可以让他马上要迎娶的这个女子要可以让判他死刑，因为他认为他在这个婚前他有不忠心的不忠贞的这样的事情。
But Joseph cared for Mary, and as hurt as he was, he didn't want her to endure such a judgment.
但是的话呢，约瑟他非常的关心玛利亚，他呢虽然他自己非常的这种受伤，但是他不想让玛利亚受到这样的刑罚。
So we know that he decided to not bring forth judgment upon her, but to end the marriage betrothal quietly.
所以我们就知道约瑟他就是希望能够不让玛利亚受审判，而是暗暗的把她休了。
So Joseph was a just man, but he was also a man of mercy.
所以我们看到约瑟他是一个义人，他同时他又是一个有怜悯的人。
That mercy was that he showed Mary was Christ-like.
那么他对这个玛利亚所展示的这样一个怜悯的心，跟我们的主耶稣基督的这个心非常的像。
In that all of us are sinners, and we all deserve to be put to death. We all deserve God's judgment, but because He loves us, He spares us that judgment.
正如我们每个人都是罪人，我们每个人都就是应该得到神的这个审判，但是他却赦免了我们，他没有让我们受到审判。
But Joseph still didn't show the amount of grace and mercy toward his bride to be that Jesus did his.
但是约瑟他并没有对玛利亚的这个怜悯，并没有像主耶稣基督对我们的怜悯那么样的大。
You see, we as the church are Jesus's bride to be.
那么我们是教会，是主耶稣基督的将来的心腹。
And Jesus not only spares us judgment, but he doesn't leave us like Joseph was going to do. He doesn't divorce us. Rather, he died for us, his to be his faithful bride.
所不同的就是耶稣基督他像约瑟一样，他没有把我们审判我们，但他并没有像约瑟那样的就想把我们暗暗的休了，而是他接纳了我，他为我们的罪死了，让我们成为他的心腹。
Anyway, we know that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him about what had really taken place.
那么我们知道，在这个经文里面讲到这个主的这个天使的话，在梦中向约瑟显现，告诉他这件事情是怎么回事。
That his future wife was in fact still a virgin, but pregnant with God's son.
那么这个天使跟约瑟说，你的这个将来的这个心腹，她还是个处女，只是呢，她呢是受的圣灵怀的孕。
And Matthew adds commentary to this account, stating that this was a fulfillment of prophecy, a fulfillment of scripture.
那么在这方马太加了一句，就是说他所做的这件事情是为了应验当初的这个预言，当初的先知的预言。
And he quoted from the book of Isaiah, which was written 700 years before that time.
他就引用了这个在700年前写成的以赛亚书。
And this Isaiah passage is where I want to really camp out today and examine.
那么今天我就想在这里来仔细的来查考这一段经文。
So I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17, the area where Matthew cited this passage.
那么在这个地方的话呢，是以赛亚书的七章十到十七节，那么这就是马太他所引用的这一段经文。
Now Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, so he came to the king of Judah at the time, who was named Ahaz.
那么那个以赛亚他是神的这个先知，他来到了这个当时的这个犹大的这个国王亚哈斯那里。
And the prophet Isaiah came with his son who was named Shear-Jashub.
那么在这个地方的话呢，他来跟他的这个儿子一起来，他这个儿子叫做 Shear-Jashub.
And he came to give him a message from God.
那么他带着他的儿子一起把这个神的信息传给亚哈斯。
So this is what it says in Isaiah 7:10. It says, Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And he shall eat curds and honey, and when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria.
耶和华有小预言啊，是说你向耶和华的你的神求一个兆头，或求显在深处，或求显在高处。亚哈斯说，我不求，我不试探耶和华。以赛亚说，大卫家啊，你们当听，你们使人厌烦，岂算小事？还要使我的神厌烦吗？因此主自己要给你一个兆头，必有童女怀孕生子，给他起名叫以马内利。到他晓得弃恶择善的时候，他必吃奶油与蜂蜜。因为在这孩子还不晓得弃恶择善之先，你所憎恶的那两二王之地必致见弃。耶和华必使亚述王攻击你的日子临到你和你的百姓并你的父家，自从以法莲离开犹大以来未曾有这样的日子。
So at Christmas time we always tend to quote verse 14 from this passage but ignore the surrounding verses.
那么在圣诞节里面的时候，我们经常会只引用这个第十四节，也就是童女生子的这一节，而把别的这个节的经文我们就不再引用。
And if we read the surrounding verses, it seems strange that Matthew would apply this to Jesus.
那么如果我们看着上下文周围的经文的话，我们会发现马太把这个经文用在耶稣身上面，实际上是蛮奇怪的一件事情。
I mean, Jesus is not the name given in the prophecy, Emmanuel is.
那么因为耶稣基督他不是在这个地方，他并没有说这个人是耶稣，他用的这个名字叫以马内利。
So who is this Emmanuel person anyway?
那么这个以马内利这个人是谁呢？
Why was Jesus named Jesus Christ and not Emmanuel Christ?
为什么耶稣基督后来被称作耶稣基督而不是以马内利基督呢？
And who is this guy Ahaz? What is his deal that Isaiah was speaking to him?
那么这个亚哈斯又是谁呢？那么这个以赛亚跟亚哈斯讲的这个东西到底是怎么回事呢？
And was this sign of a virgin giving birth something that Ahaz, the king of Judah, would see?
那么这个地方的童女怀孕的这样一个兆头，是亚哈斯对他来说的话，他是能看得到的吗？
Remember, Ahaz was the king of Judah in the time of Isaiah.
那么我们知道亚哈斯在以赛亚的那个年代，他是犹大的王。
He lived 700 years before Christ and had long since died before Mary would give birth to Jesus.
他是在主耶稣基督降生前的700年生活在那个时候，那么当玛利亚他给这个出生的独生子出生的时候，他已经死了很多年了。
So how could this be a sign to Ahaz if the sign was speaking of the Virgin Mary who would give birth to Jesus?
那么如果这个兆头是讲到玛利亚生孩子事情的话，那么这个兆头对亚哈斯又有什么意思呢？
Was Matthew wrong to apply this prophecy to Jesus?
是不是马太他引用这段经文引用错了？
Well, the answer is no, and I'm going to explain why.
那么这个回答是马太引用的没有错，我在这里告诉你这是为什么。
Many non-Christians will dismiss this prophecy and say that Matthew is reading Jesus into this prophecy, but it was not the intention of Isaiah.
那么很多的不信的这个人的话呢，他们就不相信这个的，他们就说马太他是实际上是牵强附会的把这个以赛亚的这段经文用在耶稣身上了，并不是以赛亚的本意。
Unbelievers will claim that this prophecy was only about a young woman in Ahaz's day.
那么很多不信的人就说他这一段的这个经文的兆头讲的就是在亚哈斯那个时代的一个童女她怀孕生孩子的一件事情而已。
But if we read the prophecy carefully, we'll see that the sign was not only given to Ahaz, but to the house of David.
但如果我们仔细读这段经文的话，我们就会发现这个兆头并不光光给了亚哈斯，而是给了大卫的家。
Ahaz refused to ask for a sign as God had commanded him, so God redirected the sign to be given to the entire house of David.
因为亚哈斯他拒绝来向神求这样一个兆头，所以的话神就把这个兆头就把他给了整个的大卫的家，而不是光光给了他自己。
And the house of David was a reference to the royal line that would go from David all the way down to Jesus.
那么这里的大卫的家指的就是这样一个血，这个血脉它一直延续，从大卫一直延续到现在的这样一个延续。
And Ahaz, being the king in Judah, was part of the house of David.
那么亚哈斯他作为犹大王的话，他是大卫的这个后裔里面的一个。
But he would only see one aspect of the fulfillment of this prophecy.
但是他只是看到这个。 兆头这个预言的一部分而已。
There would be three aspects of this prophecy that would be fulfilled.
那么这个经文它实际上的这段这个兆头它有三个方面要得到应验的。
Those being God's judgment, God's comfort, and God's incarnation.
这三方面就是神的审判、神的安慰和神的道成肉身。
Ahaz would only see in his time God's judgment.
那么亚哈斯他看到的，在那个时代就是第一个就是神的审判，是他看到的。
But many in the house of David for the next 700 years would see God's comfort as they would await the coming of the Messiah.
那么很多的大卫家的人，也就是大卫的后裔，他们在700年以后，他们能够看到神的安慰，就是神差遣了他应许的弥赛亚来到世上。
And then that royal line, that house of David, would descend to Joseph and Mary, who were both descendants of David.
那么玛利亚和约瑟他们两个也都是大卫的这个支派，不是大卫的这个后裔，他们这个家族的后裔。
And they would behold the incarnation.
那么他们就是能够看到这个道成的肉身的这件事情。
So this prophecy had both a near fulfillment and a distant fulfillment.
所以这段的预言的话，它有一个近期的应验和一个远的、一个长远的这个未来的预言应验。
And God often gave the prophets prophecies and types and shadows that had near fulfillments and distant fulfillments that would ultimately be fulfilled in Christ.
那么这个神经常会给在这个旧圣经里面给这些先知们的这个预言都包括了一个近期的预言和一个长期的预言，而且这个远这个未来的预言总是指向耶稣基督的。
A type or a shadow in an account in the Old Testament is something that parallels the person or work of Christ in some way.
那么在这个旧约里面他用的这个 shadow 实际上就是个兆头或者是这个预示，它实际上是跟这个耶稣基督他将来要发生的事情，他们会形成一种对照，或者是形成一种相互的一种印证。
For example, the Passover was a shadow of Christ.
比方说，这个逾越节它实际上就是主耶稣基督的这样一个对照。
In the Passover, the blood of the lamb was painted on the doorpost of the houses of the Jews in Egypt, and the angel of death would then pass over those houses that had the blood of the lamb painted on the door.
那么在这个逾越节的时候呢，这个血被涂在这个住在埃及地的犹太人的这个他们的房子的门框和门楣上面。这样的话，当这个天使他来看到这个来击杀这个埃及的长子的时候，当他们看到这个门框上的血的时候，他们就会越过这一家，不对这一家来实行这个杀害。
And that shadow is fulfilled in Christ, in that Christ's shed blood spiritually is applied to our hearts.
那么在这个地方的话，它就是应验了，或者是对比在我们主耶稣基督上面，因为他为我们的罪，他流了血，并且呢，能够对我们在我们的心里面能够给我们一个拯救。
And then God's wrath passes over us because the blood of the Lamb is upon the doorpost of our heart.
那么这样的话呢，那个神的这个审判就能够超越过我们，因为主耶稣基督他流的血在我们的心上面成了一个印记。
But this Isaiah prophecy was something that Ahaz would see fulfilled in his day.
但是的话呢，这个以赛亚他看到的这个这段那个预言呢，是亚哈斯他这个时候他看不到的。
I want to show you how he would see this prophecy being fulfilled.
那么我想告诉你，就是说这个亚哈斯他看到的是哪一段，他看到的东西是怎么成就的，他看到那一段的这个神的审判是怎么样成就的。
You see, in that time, around 700 years before Christ, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom of Israel, which was called Ephraim, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judah.
那么在公元前700年那个时候呢，以色列它被分成了两个部分，在北国呢就是以色列国，南国呢叫犹大国。
The northern kingdom of Ephraim had become very idolatrous and turned away from God in many ways.
北国的以色列国呢，他们大多数人都在敬拜偶像，他们实际上已经离弃了神。
The southern kingdom of Judah was also being unfaithful, though not to the extent of the northern kingdom as of yet.
这么南国犹大呢，他们对神也是不忠，但他还没有像北国那么的糟糕。
And then there was this empire known as the Assyrian Empire that was threatening to attack Israel.
那么那个时候呢，有一个这个帝国，就是亚述帝国，他们呢在这里威胁要来进攻以色列，进攻犹大地。
And Assyria was being used by God as a rod of judgment against both Israel and Judah for their unfaithfulness.
那个时候的亚述呢是被神用作为神的杖在这个地方来惩罚犹大国和以色列国因着他们对神的不忠。
So the northern kingdom decided to join forces with this other country named Syria.
那么在北国的这个国王呢，他们就决定和另外一个国家叙利亚，也是亚兰，在这个记载就是叙利亚现在的叙利亚国，他们要
And they asked Ahaz, who was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, to join them to fight the Assyrian siege.
这北国的国王，他们和亚兰国，也就是叙利亚国，他们要求南国的这个亚哈斯国王也和他们在一起，和他们联合起来来一起对付这个亚述帝国。
But Ahaz, the king of Judah, did not want to be involved with this because he feared the king of Assyria.
但是南国的这个犹大王亚哈斯呢，他不想加入他们的这个北国的这个阵线，因为他特别的害怕这个亚述国的这个亚述帝国的这个力量。So
Pekah, the king of the northern kingdom, and Rezin, the king of the nation Syria, decided to attack Judah and kill Ahaz, and then put in a puppet king so that they would join forces and fight the Assyrian Empire.
所以呢，在这个时候呢，北国的这个以色列国的国王叫比加。 还有这个亚兰国的国王呢，叫做利逊，他们两人就决定呢来攻击南国，他们想把这个亚哈斯杀掉，再建立一个傀儡的政府，这样的话呢，他们就可以联合他们三国一起来对付犹大，亚述帝国。So
at this point, this is the point when Isaiah would come to Ahaz to bring him a message from God.
那么在这个时候，那么以赛亚。 来到了这个亚哈斯的王宫，来把神的信息告诉他。And
through Isaiah, God commanded King Ahaz to ask him for a sign.
那么通过这个以赛亚呢，那么神命令这个亚哈斯，要亚哈斯来问神有一个求一个兆头。But
the pagan idolatrous King Ahaz acted in false humility and refused to ask for a sign.
那么在这个时候的话呢，这个从拜偶像的这个亚哈斯呢。
You see, Ahaz had already devised his own plan to save himself. He was going to go and steal silver and gold from the temple and bribe the king of Assyria.
实际上，这个时候亚哈斯他自己已经有了一个救他自己的计划。他就是把这个圣殿里面的金银都搜刮起来以后，然后把这个金和银呢都献给这个亚述王作为一种贿赂。
He was going to give him the sacred elements from the temple so that he would not destroy them, but would destroy the northern kingdom and Syria.
他想他把圣殿里面的圣物来献给这个亚述国王，那期待他不侵略他们的国家，而把北边的两个国家能够把他们摧毁。
So Ahaz rejected the help of the Lord and instead looked to a man to deliver him.
那么这个时候亚哈斯他拒绝了神对他的要求，而把他的这个希望转向来人来拯救他自己。
God rebuked Ahaz and declared to him what the sign would be.
那么这个时候神就斥责了亚哈斯，并且告诉他你将看到的兆头是什么样的兆头。
And that sign would be a specific prophecy that would have a lesser fulfillment, a near fulfillment, and a distant ultimate fulfillment.
那么这个兆头实际上就是有两个，有近期要应验的和将来要应验的两个兆头。
And Ahaz would see that near fulfillment within 12 years.
那么亚哈斯他自己会在12年以后看到这个最近期的这样一个兆头或者一个预言。
But before I explain that, let's first examine the significance of this prophecy of a virgin birth.
那么当我以后还会再讲这个兆头，但是现在我们先看一看童女生子的这样一个事情，它的意义在哪里？
And what it means for us today as Christians.
那么对我们来说，这个是为什么这么重要？
The virgin birth is a foundational aspect of the Christian faith.
那么实际上的话呢，这个童女生子是我们基督徒信仰的一个很重要的一个根基。
To deny the virgin birth of Christ has been seen throughout Christian history as a denial of the faith.
那么实际上，如果我们要是拒绝，或者是我们要是不承认这个童女生子这件事情的话，实际上也是我们等于我们不承认我们的在基督里的信心。
Why is that?
为什么是这样的？
Well, if Jesus had a human father,
那么如果耶稣他是要有个人真人的这样一个肉身的父亲的话，
then he is under the curse of sin.
那么他实际上是在一个罪的咒诅之下的。
For the curse of sin has been passed on through the Father from generation to generation that began with Adam, our federal head.
那么因为罪的这个咒诅，因为罪的这个咒诅，他是因着亚当，他一代一代通过父亲传给他们的后代的。
You see, it was Adam's sin, not Eve's, that brought forth the curse of sin.
那么我们看到是亚当的罪，而不是夏娃的罪，是被一代一代的传到他的后裔的。
Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned.
我这么说是因为罗马书十五章是五章这样说，这就如罪是从一人入的世界，死又从罪来的，于是死就临到了众人，因为众人都犯了罪。
Therefore, if Jesus had a human father, he would have been among the all who sinned in this passage.
那么如果耶稣基督他真有一个肉身的父亲的话，那么他就和我们一样，也都是一个犯了罪的，有罪的人。
But we know that Jesus never sinned.
但是我们知道耶稣基督是没有罪的。
Rather, he became a curse for us upon the cross.
那么他为我们在十字架上面成为了这个罪的救，一个咒诅。
Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.
就像加拉太书三章十三节说的，耶基督既为我们受了咒诅，就赎出我们脱离律法的咒诅，因为经上记着，凡挂在木头上的都是被咒诅的。
Therefore, we know all are born under the curse of sin because all are born as a result of the union of man and woman.
那么所以的话，我们在世上的每一个人，如果因着男女的交合而出生在这个世上的话，我们就生在罪的里面。
But Jesus was begotten of God through a woman.
但是耶稣基督他是神通过童女受孕而产生的。
And this woman was also a sinner like you and me.
那么这个女人，也就是玛利亚，她也是一个罪人，和你我一样的。
Yet Jesus did not inherit her sin nature.
但是呢，耶稣基督他并没有继承成就。承续了他的玛利亚的这个罪。
So that's why the virgin birth is so very important.
那么也就是为什么童女生子对我们来说是非常重要的。
Now, skeptics of the virgin birth will assert that the Hebrew word that's used in Isaiah 7:14 for virgin is alma, and it doesn't mean, they will say it doesn't mean virgin, it means a young maiden.
那么不信的人他也许会说马太刚刚引用的这个以赛亚书的这个原文的希伯来文里面的话呢，他们用的这个童女，它是指的是年轻的女人，而不是指真正的，不是指一个处女。
Skeptics will point out that there's another Hebrew word that means virgin that is not used in the verse.
那么不信的人他可能还会说，实际上真正的这个词是用来形容处女的这个词的话呢，并不是在这个经文里面原来使用的。
And that word is Bethula.
那么另外这个词叫做 Bethula。
So that must mean that Isaiah was not talking about a literal virgin in the minds of skeptics and unbelievers.
那么也就是说，以赛亚在他这一段经文里面，他用的这个童女是用的这个年轻女子，而用的不是处女这个词。
But the Hebrew word alma can be applied to both a young maiden and a virgin.
但是呢，希伯来词里面这个 alma 这个词，也就是年轻女子呢，它可以是一个年轻的女子，也可以是一个处女。
The word Bethula would not have been an appropriate word to use concerning Mary because Mary was engaged to be married. She was betrothed.
那么这个词用在玛利亚的身上也不是什么不妥当的，因为玛利亚她在那个时候已经许配给了约瑟。
In ancient Israel, when a young woman who was a virgin became engaged to be married, she is no longer classified as a Bethula, but as an Alma.
那么在希伯来的这个传统里面的话，如果一个年轻的女人，即使她是个处女，她许配给一个男人以后，她在这个时候就可以被叫做 Alma, 而不是叫做 Bethula。
Bethula was used to describe a virgin whose father was looking for a husband for her.
这个 Bethula 这个词实际上是用在一个处女，她的父亲还在为她寻找未来的丈夫的这个时候。
So because Mary was engaged, it would not have been appropriate to call her a Bethula. So Alma is the proper word.
所以的话呢，那时候因为玛利亚她已经订婚了，所以的话呢，用 Alma 这个词是非常的适宜的。尽管即使在那个时候她仍然是处女。
And one would remain an Alma until they became a mother.
那么这个女子她订婚了以后，大家会称她 Alma。直到有一天，她成为了一个母亲，她就不再叫奥玛了。
So you see that term Alma can be used for both a virgin and just a young maiden.
所以总而言之的话 Alma 这个词可以被用在处女或者一个年轻的女子身上。
But what's more convincing is that ancient Jews knew this was a future messianic prophecy of a virgin giving birth.
那么在这重要的是呢就是说是这个犹太人他们在读这段经文的时候他们知道实际上是将来的这个兆头是一个童女或者一个处女他们生孩子这个兆头。
In the 2nd century BC, the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament was completed.
那么在公元前的 2nd century, 200 before
200 years before Christ.
公元前200年的时候有这样一群的人他们那个时候修订了这个旧约70世的这个修订的这个旧约全书。
The Septuagint translation is a body of work where 70 Jewish scholars translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek.
那么在这个七十世译本的这个旧约的这个书里面呢，这个书呢，实际上是有70个当时的犹太的这些学者，他们把原来的这样一个希伯来语的圣经翻译成了希腊语的圣经。
And when these Hebrew scholars translated this Hebrew word Alma to Greek, they chose the Greek word Parthenos.
那么当这个七十个学者他们在翻译这段经文，他们翻译这个原文童女的原文翻译成希腊的时候呢，希腊文的时候呢，他用了这样一个词叫做 Parthenos， 用这个希腊词来描述这个童女。
That word specifically means a virgin, a woman who has not had intercourse.
那么这个时候，这个词在希腊文里面完全的是意思就是一个处女。
If they wanted to translate this into a just speaking of a young woman, they could have used the word the Greek word kare.
那个时候，如果他们想把这个词童女翻译成一个希腊的词来描述年轻女子的话呢，他们应当用这个词是 kore 这个词。
And that is profoundly significant.
那么在这个时候，你就看到这个非常深刻的这样一个不同了。
It shows that these Jewish scholars 200 years before Christ understood that this passage was speaking of a miraculous virgin birth.
那么我们就知道这七十个犹太的这个学者的话，他们在公元前200年，当他们翻译这个经文的时候，他们很明确的知道这段的这个童女的出生是一个充满了奇迹的一个处女生孩子的一件事情。
And these scholars also knew what Isaiah said about this child 2 chapters later.
那么这些学者他们也知道以赛亚在接下来的两章以后讲到的这个出生的这个婴孩是什么样的。
In Isaiah 9:6, the prophet would give further description of this child.
那么在以赛亚书的9:6-7里面，这个预言更精确，更加的明确的描述了这个婴孩是什么样的婴孩。
Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
以赛亚书九章六到七节这样说，因有一婴孩为我们而生，有一子赐给我们，政权必担在他的肩头上，他的名称为奇妙策士，全能的神，永在的父，和平的君，他的政权与平安必加增无穷，他必在大卫的宝座上治理他的国，以公平公义使国坚定稳固，从今直到永远，万军之耶和华的热心必成就这事。
So these Jews who translated the Old Testament into Greek expected the Messiah to be divine and also born of a virgin.
那么这些学者当他们在翻译这个书的时候，他们就有这样一个期待，就是这一个婴孩他是一个从天而生，而且是由一个童女而生的。
And the child would be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Emmanuel.
这个孩子他会被称为是全能的神，永在的父，和以马内利，神与我们同在。
And of course, Matthew tells us that Emmanuel means God with us.
因为马太的告诉我们说，以马内利的意思就是神与我们同在。
It's a descriptive name of the virgin-born child.
那这个时候，以马内利他是对于这一个由童女所生的孩子的一个描述性的名字。
It's a descriptive name just as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace are in
Isaiah 9:6.
And that is why Jesus is not given the literal name Emmanuel, because Emmanuel was a descriptive title.
这就是为什么耶稣基督他后来没有给他这样以马内利作为名字，因为以马内利只是一种形容的一个描述的一样，用在这个目的上的。
But let's come back to Ahaz.
让我们再回到这个亚哈斯这件事情上。
God told Ahaz that he too would see a sign of a baby being born in his day.
但是神又告诉亚哈斯说，你自己也要看到一个婴儿要生出来。
This child to be born in Ahaz's day would be a sign, but not of the incarnate God child. So then, who is this child?
也就是说，在亚哈斯的时代，亚哈斯他会看到一个孩子出生，但这个孩子又不是他后来描述的这个由童女所生的、由处女所生的婴孩。
Well, Isaiah 8 gives us the answer. Isaiah himself would have a son, and this son of the prophet would be a sign. To Ahaz.
在以赛亚书的第八章里面就给了这样一个答案，因为以赛亚他自己又生了一个儿子，这个儿子实际上是亚哈神给亚哈斯的这个兆头里面所说的这个孩子。
It says in Isaiah 8 that before this child would be able to say mommy or daddy, that the northern kingdom of Israel and Syria would be destroyed.
在这个地方他讲到，就是说这个孩子他还不知道。能够 来叫分清爸爸妈妈的时候，这个北国就已经被占领了。
In addition to that, Isaiah 7 stated that Judah, the southern kingdom, would also fall into servitude to the Assyrian Empire before this child of Isaiah would become old enough to know right from wrong.
而且在第七章里面，他也说到这个，甚至是南国，在这个孩子还不知道择善弃恶择善的时候，也就分清对错的时候，那么南国也被亚述国所占领了。
So this prophecy was speaking of the time that would mark the end of Israel and Judah as sovereign nations.
在这个地方的话，他讲到的这个预言就是，以色列和犹大他们作为一个主权的国家，在不久的将来，他们就将被别的国家占领。
Because over the next 700 years, Israel and Judah would be repeatedly conquered.Over and over and over.
因为在那个时间以后的七百年里面，犹大和以色列他们被别的国家一次又一次的征服和占领。
Assyria ruled over them, and then the Jews were taken into captivity by the Babylonian Empire 100 years later.
被亚述人先是征服了，然后的话，在这个一百多年以后的话呢，150年以后的巴比伦人又把犹太人又把这个两个国家占领了。
And then the Medo-Persian Empire would rule over them.
然后的话是马代波斯的人征服了他们。
And then the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great would rule over Israel.
那么后来亚历山大希腊人又把它征服了。
And finally the Roman Empire would reign over the land until Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed in AD 70.
那么最后呢，它被罗马人所占领，直到在这个公元后的70年，整个的耶路撒冷城被毁。
So this was a prophecy of great judgment that was being given.To Ahaz.
那么这个实际上是给亚哈斯的一个预言，一个兆头，是讲到了神的审判。
But it was also a prophecy of comfort to the faithful Jews.
但是这一段的经文也是对有信心的犹太人的一个安慰。
Because within the prophecy in Isaiah 8, the prophet uses the term God with us, Emmanuel, to encourage the faithful Jews.Who would have to endure this dark time of 700 years of persecution?
因为在这个描述的经文里面，以赛亚也用了这样一个以马内利这样的字眼，来暗示这些忠心的犹太人，通过这个七百年的这个黑暗的时期以后，他们还是会看到神的拯救。
Through this prophecy, God was declaring to His true people that He was not forsaking them.
那通过这个兆头的话，神也对他真正的子民说，神还没有弃绝他们。
And it would have been easy for them to think that because the Babylonian Empire destroyed the temple.
那么对于这些犹太人来说的话，他们很容易相信神把他们弃绝了，因为这个巴比伦人他们完全的把圣殿就摧毁了。
And the temple was the way the Jews had access to God.
因为圣殿是犹太人他们在这里遇见神的地方。
So it would have been easy for them to think that God had forsaken them when they were taken into captivity and, just, and, the, and their temple was destroyed.
那么对于这个犹太人来说的话呢，他们被掳，他们的圣殿被摧毁，很容易让他们相信神已经弃绝了他们。
But God was comforting them through this prophecy, saying that He would be with them still.
但是神通过这个预言在安慰他们说，神还要与他们同在。
And just as God was with Israel in the temple in the Old Testament,
就像在旧约里面，神在这个圣殿里面或者在这个帐幕里面和犹太人同在一样。
He is with us today.
他现在和我们仍然同在。
Because He declares that His church is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
因为他说他的教会就是圣灵的殿。
So He indwells us today.
他内住在我们当中。
Some may ask, well, how then could the Jews know that God was with them when the Babylonian Empire destroyed the temple?
那有些人会问的话，为什么犹太人他们仍然会认为神与他们同在，当他们看见巴比伦人把他们的圣殿摧毁呢？
Well, like I said, they would know this through the promise that God gave them through the prophet Isaiah, through His Word.
这个时候的话，真正信神的犹太人，他们会通过神，通过以赛亚对他们讲的这些安慰的话。来相信神仍与他们同在。
And we as the church, through His Word, have that same promise that God will return, Christ will return.
那么作为我们现在的教会的话，我们也在这地方，因着神告诉我们的话语，我们知道有一天基督耶稣还会再回到我们当中来。
But of course, King Ahaz was unmoved by this.
但是的话呢，亚哈斯王他当时并没有被这些话所触动。
He would go on to compromise, offering sacrifices to the gods of the Assyrians in order to please the Assyrians.
那么他继续的做他的妥协，把他们的圣殿里面的这些财宝，把他们奉献给亚述国。
He would shut the doors of the Lord's temple, and he built altars on every street corner.
他把神的这个圣殿关了，在这个街上面盖了很多的这个祭坛。
In every town, he built high places and burnt sacrifices to false gods.
那么在这个城里面，他还会筑上高坛，在那地方来为这些假神们献祭。
And this is what compromise causes in our lives, and we become slaves to that which we conform to.
那么在我们的生命里面，我们也做过类似的这样的妥协，让我们对有些东西，我们对他们做了妥协让步。
So the near fulfillment of this prophecy that Ahaz would see would be the birth of Isaiah's son, Maher Shalal Hashbaz.
对于亚哈斯来说的话，他所看到的一个近期的一个兆头，就是他看到了以赛亚的儿子马黑尔沙拉勒哈施巴斯，这个很长的一个名字，他的降生。
That's a great name to name your child for anybody that has a child in the future.
对我们给我们自己孩子起这样的名字是蛮棒的一件事情。
Now people will disagree with this dual fulfillment idea because they'll say that Isaiah's wife was not a virgin.
但是的话呢，那么有的人又会说，这件事情的话呢，可能也不对，因为的话，那个以赛亚他有个先前有一个儿子，所以他的这个太太她不是一个童女。
Isaiah 7:3 tells us that Isaiah already had a son named Shear Jashub.
那么在这个第七节第七章第三节的时候，他说，这个以赛亚他自己已经有了个儿子叫施亚亚述。
But that assumes that Isaiah only had one wife.
那么这个说法实际上是假设以赛亚他只有一个太太。
So he may have had a wife.Before that, we don't know. He may have had a wife before that that had passed away because this child, Shear Jashub, was older.
但是的话，以赛亚他有可能在这之先前有一个太太，因为他这个第一个孩子年纪已经很大了，也许这个他的太太已经去世了。
But the three sons named in this prophecy in Isaiah 7-8 speaks of the three applications of this prophecy.
但是的话呢，这个以赛亚他的这个三个儿子，他们的名字呢，实际上是。在这地方描述了神这个预言的这个三个方面。
Maher Shalal Hashbaz means swift is the booty, speedy is the prey.
第一个的儿子马黑尔这个儿子的话，他的这个名字的意思就是说掳掠速临，抢夺快到的意思。
And that spoke of God's judgment, how it would swiftly come into Judah and Israel and bring forth destruction.
这地方就讲到的神他的这个审判的到来。
Shear Jashub means the remnant shall return, and that speaks of God's comfort.
Shear Jashub 的意思呢，就是说剩余的民必转回，这是神给我们的安慰。
And that was predictive of how the Jews would be taken into exile in Babylon, but after 70 years, they would return and continue on in Israel.
这个地方实际上预言了, 这个犹太人, 他们会被 巴比伦人掳到外邦, 但是70年以后, 他们又回归到耶路撒冷。
And finally, the third son that's mentioned is Emmanuel, meaning God with us.
第三个儿子呢, 他的名字是以马内利, 的意思就是神与我们同在。
And that spoke of the time of when Messiah would come, His incarnation, and that He would bring salvation to His people.
这地方就讲到了那个时候, 就是将来, 这个弥赛亚会来到这世上, 道成了肉身, 把他的人从罪里面拯救出来。
And Jesus Christ would be the ultimate fulfillment of all of these things 700 years later.
在耶稣基督实际上在这个七百年以后是对这个所有的这些预言的一个最终极的应验。
But because of Ahaz's unfaithfulness, all he would see was that Judah, his kingdom, would be occupied and impoverished by Assyria.
但是的话呢，亚哈斯王他因着他的不信，他所看到的只是他的国王，他的王国被犹大人被亚述人占领，并且因着这个他们占领，这个国家会变得贫困和衰弱。
This once great kingdom under King David and King Solomon that was so prosperous would become poverty stricken.
这个曾经那么样富庶的，在这个大卫王和所罗门王统治下的这样一个富庶的国家，它会变得非常的贫穷。
And that was what was being inferred by the statement that the child would be eating curds and honey.
在这个地方的话，他这个国家将变穷的这个事情是被这句话，因为这个孩子要吃奶油与蜂蜜，这个来预言的。
Isaiah 7:15 said that he shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good.
因为以赛亚书的7章15节里说，到他晓得弃恶得善的时候，他必吃奶油与蜂蜜。
Curds and honey was the diet of an impoverished society.
这个奶油和蜂蜜，它实际上是一个贫穷的一个社区里面他们吃的这种替代品。
You mean that it's a poor place that people don't have other things to eat, so they have to eat curds.
Right. It's it speaks of a diet of scarcity.
Okay. 所以尽管这个是高级的东西，但是实际上是不得已吃的东西。
So from the time of Isaiah's son Maher-shalal Hashbaz. Unto the time of Jesus, Judah would be in poverty.
但从那个时候开始，一直到主耶稣基督第一次降临的时候，这个犹大国他们一直是处在一种贫困的一种状态里面。
And remember, Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he was not born in a palace.
那我们也知道，记得耶稣基督他是万主之主、万王之王，他并不是生在一个宫殿里面。He
was born in a manger among animals.
他是生在一个马槽里面，他周围都是一些牲畜。
He was born into scarcity, into poverty.
And
through this, he learned of his role as our high priest. Hebrews 5:8 says, although, speaking of Jesus, he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
在希伯来书的5章8节这样说，他虽然为儿子，还是因为所受的苦难学了顺从，他既得以完全，就为凡顺从他的人成了永远得救的根源，并蒙神照着麦基喜德的等次称他为大祭司。
You may be wondering, why would Jesus have to learn obedience? I mean, he was God, he was sinless.
那么你也许在想，为什么耶稣基督他要学习顺从？因为他是神，而且他是无罪的呀。
Well, it wasn't that he had to learn obedience the way we do. How do we learn obedience? We learn by being disobedient and then being punished.
主耶稣基督他学会苦难的方式和我们不一样，我们怎么样来学会顺从的方式和我们不一样，我们怎么样学会顺从呢？我们实际上是使用我们不顺从，然后我们受到了惩罚，我们变得顺从了。Jesus
learned obedience as he walked in it.
主耶稣基督他学会了顺从，是因为他走
walk into the heart
walking in his obedience to God.
主耶稣基督他学习顺从，是因为他在顺从里面与神同行。
It's kind of like breathing for us. We don't have to learn how to breathe, but as we grow in our understanding of the importance of breathing.
就像我们呼吸一样，我们不需要去学习如何的呼吸，但是当我们长大的时候，我们越来越知道我们呼吸对我们的重要。
In Hebrews 2:17, it says, Therefore, speaking of Jesus, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
就像希伯来书的二章十七节里面这样说，所以他凡事该与他的弟兄相同，为要在神的事上成为慈悲忠信的大祭司，为百姓的罪献上挽回祭。他自己既然被试探而受苦，就能搭救被试探的人。
So Jesus faced temptation in every way that you and I face temptation, yet he never sinned in thought, word, or deed.
所以主耶稣基督他被受各样的试探，和你我所受的一样，但是他从来也没有犯罪。
Anyway, we know Jesus will fulfill his future promise to the church that he will return because he so abundantly fulfilled his earlier promises.
这样的话，我们就能够知道主耶稣基督他一定会在将来来应许他要回来的这个来迎娶他的心腹的这样的预言，因为在过去的这些年里面，他已经一次又一次的预言了，验证了这个就关于他的各种各样的这种预兆。
And coming full circle, let's go back to Joseph in our Matthew passage.
那么现在我们完再一块回去来看看这个约瑟和玛利亚。
With Joseph, we see an illustration, a picture of God with us.
通过约瑟，我们能够看到有这样一个图画，就是神与我们同在。
Again, Joseph didn't do what the law required regarding Mary.
我们知道，这个约瑟他并没有按照律法上面所说的那样来对玛利亚所行的事。
He thought she cheated on him, yet he spared her the judgment that the law required and showed her grace.
那么当时约瑟他以为玛利亚他对他不忠，但是他并没有按照这个律法上的审判，用律法的审判来对待玛利亚。
And in addition to that, when she was redeemed in his sight through the revelation that the angel gave him in a dream,
那不光是这样，而且呢，当这个天使告诉约瑟真正的事情是什么样的时候。
Joseph chose to stay with her through all the condemnation she would receive from the community.
约瑟呢就选择和玛利亚同在，那么通过他与他同在的时候，他会面对的这周围的这些人的各种各样的这种指责。
Joseph stayed with her through this difficult journey to Bethlehem.
约瑟和玛利亚一起在这个去通过这个去伯利恒的这个艰难的这个行程。
Just as Joseph was with Mary, God is with us.
就像约瑟和玛利亚同在一样，神与我们同在。
He is with us, despite all the ridicule that the world pours on us for our faith.
他神与我们同在，不管这个世界上面对我们怎么样的嘲讽。
He is with us in our difficult journey right now as we await His second coming.
当我们在等待他第二次到来的时候，当我们经历我们现在的苦难的时候，他也与我们同在。
And we have been redeemed, and our bridegroom is with us.
我们已经被赎回了，我们将来的这个新郎与我们同在。
God is with us, and He will not leave us or forsake us, but He will be with us to the end of the age. He will cause us to persevere in the faith.
神与我们同在，并且与我们同在直到永远，而且他会让我们在我们的信心上一直能够持守坚定。
And that is such an abundant reason to rejoice in this Christmas season.
这就是为什么我们在这个圣诞的季节里面，我们有这样的一个这么多的原因来欢喜快乐。
Let's pray.
让我们祷告。
Oh, Heavenly gracious Lord, I thank you, Father God, for your word.
我们天父，我们的主，我们感谢你，因着你的话语。
I thank you for how precise and clear it is to us.
那么我们感谢你的话语是这么样的明确的告诉我们。
And how you spoke from outside of time so that people through all generations would see the fulfillment of your word.
你是怎么样的在过去历史历代对我们说话，这样我们能看到你的预言的一次又一次的被应验。
And through seeing this fulfillment, we would recognize, Lord, your divine power.
我们看到就是你的这些预言的这个实现，我们看到你的属天的这样一个力量。
And our faith would be increased.
这样的话，我们的信心就能够得以增长。
So we thank you, Lord, and praise you for granting us this faith.
我们感谢主，因为你给我们这样一个信心。
And for being a light unto our path.
那成为我们的路上的光。
Guiding us and protecting us and leading us until the time of your return.
引导我们，保护我们，来直到你再来的时候。
Be glorified in our hearts.
让那个时候你的名就在我们的心里面能够得到荣耀。
In Jesus' name we pray.
祷告奉主耶稣基督的名。
Amen.
Amen.